G'di Rabosai, good evening. Thank you for coming to our Thursday night Mishmar on the topic of a two-part series, two parts about pets. Tonight's topic will be, are you allowed to carry or lift or hold pets? And B'ez Hashem next week will be, are you allowed to pet pets? Are you allowed to pet them? And it's actually a different aspect of the sugya of mukta. Tonight we're going to deal with one aspect of the sugya of mukta. Feeding pets, you could feed your pets. That you could definitely do. In fact, you're obligated to do so. If they're your responsibility, you're obligated to do so even before you have your lunch or your Friday night supper. That's a chiyuv that you have. The question we'll do is, what about touching them or moving them? That's going to be what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's begin with the sources. A Mishnah and a Gemara. Zak the Mishnah in Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches Amud Beis. The sheets will be given out. Yaakov, you want to just check if any are ready? They're in the office. So as a Mishnah, I'll say it outside before we see it inside. Those who are on Zoom will be able to see it inside. The Mishnah talks about... What?
We can go on Zoom too.
Yeah, I'll get the sheets. Okay. So the Mishnah talks about a case where you have a bunch of chicks or chickens, and the chickens or the chicks are sitting in a coop, and they have to hop to get down. The problem is, it's too big of a hop, and if they fall, they'll crash. They don't really fly so well, or they don't fly yet, so you want to help them get down. So you want to put a little stepping stool for the chicks to get down from the coop. Says the Mishnah, the first source, Kofanis Asal, you could take a basket, turn it upside down, and let the chickens use it as a stepping stool, Kadesh Yala V'yerdu. Obviously, baskets aren't mukta. Of course you could take a basket and move a basket wherever you want on Shabbos. What's the shaila? What's the heter? What's the chiddush? Zakt Rashi, Ashmi Inan, Dekli Nital, L'davar She'eno Nital B'Shabbos. A big chiddush in Hilchas Mukta. You're allowed to move away a kli to benefit for the use of, for the help of, something else that is not movable, for something else that is mukta. So for example, let's say you have a laptop that you left outside and it's going to get ruined. You're not allowed to move the laptop, even Litzach Gufo, even Litzach Makomo. Are you allowed to take a pot and put it on top of your laptop to protect it from the rain? You see from this Rashi, yes. Even if something's Mukta Legamre, you're allowed to move something else, Shel Heter, to facilitate, to provide, to help the thing that's Mukta. So too here. You might have thought that you can't move something mutter for the purpose of something muktzah. Kamash malar, even though chicks are muktzah, that's what this Gemara seems to be saying, that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying, you're still allowed to put the pot in front of it for to allow the chicks to climb up and down. So if we stop right over here, it seems, as certainly the way Rashi is learning this Mishnah, that chicks, baby chickens, are muktzah. Does that apply just to chicks? Is it all animals? Is it because it's an ungrown chicken? Is that why it's muktzah? Let's see. Zok the Magen Mishnah, when the Rambam quotes this halacha, this Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah points out, Kofanes Hasal, Perish, Ha'efrochim Vishum Behema, Chaya Va'ov Chayim, Einon Mutar Betiltil. All animals, and he's pretty broad, animals, behemos, chayos, of. He doesn't mention Dugim, but I assume Dugim might be the same. Certainly. All animals of all sorts are not permitted to be handled. Lefisha Einan Re'uyin, because they're not usable. So that word usable is going to be part of what we're going to have to talk about tonight, because how can you say my delicious little poodle, who I love so much, is not usable? Dr. Pinter, it's good to see you, but on my screen you're upside down, which is fine with me, as long as it works for you. Good evening, Tzafrir. Good to see you. Welcome. Now you look much better upside. You look better right side up. So we have what seems to be a Mishnah Paskin by the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like this. And typically we will say that animals are mukta. All types of animals, all sorts of animals. That's what the Magen Mishnah is explicit in saying. What we have to figure out, though, is... We'll come to that later. Let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. Also, the Taltal Behemah Chayva Of. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Siman Shin Ches, it's usher to move animals. Animals are muktzah. All kinds of animals, whether they're kosher, they're not kosher, they fly, they don't fly. Nevertheless, you're allowed to move the basket in front of them. That's what we saw. And let's just jump straight to the Mishnah Berurah. We're going to go back into the Rishonim in a minute, but let's just see what the Mishnah Berurah says here. Asla taltalo, tehem bichlal muktzah ke'etzim v'avanim. We know that there are various categories of muktzah. There's muktzah klishim lachtal iser, which you're allowed to move litzarach gufo mekamo. But you remember we learned that in Hilchas Muktzah. Here the Mishnah Berurah is telling us these are, excuse me, a high level of muktzah. This is a muktzah of the sort of etzim v'avanim, which is
no use
at all. And therefore, even if you need tzarach mekamo, tzarach gufo, even if you need the place where the animal is situated, you're not allowed to lift it up and move it out of the way. Now let me ask you a question. What happens if you have a bird that's going to fly away if you don't handle it? For example, the Orlean family. We have a bird, and if the door opens and you don't catch it before it flies out, it will fly out, and then we will lose an expensive bird. So are we allowed to grab it or handle it to save the Hefsin Mammon? So what would you say?
Why are you letting it out of the cage?
It's out of the cage. Ask the little kids why it was out of the cage. Are you allowed to handle it to prevent the Hefsin Mammon? Mr. Klinkwitz, what are you telling? To prevent the Hefsin Mammon?
No.
You say no. Okay. Dr. Pinto, what do you say? You allowed to handle a bird to prevent the Hefsin Mammon?
I'm reading your screen. It says a few of Makom Hefsin.
So that's you cheated. Okay, yes. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Afilum Yachal Hagil Hefsid Al Yadam. Even if you're going to get to a Hefsid, for example, the bird will fly away, or the bird will fly and knock down the kalim. Still, we know that the halachas of muktzah do apply, even b'makom hefsid. If there's a hefsid, if you have a $5 bill on the floor or a $100 bill on the floor, you have no heter to pick it up because of a hefsid of $100. And therefore, it's going to be usur to handle this animal. Afilu b'makom hefsid. Kala'achar yad is a general question of how you move things, kala'achar yad. So it depends what you call kala'achar yad. With your body, is whatever the halacha of moving with your body is.
Deflect the bird from flying out, instead of catching it, but deflect it.
If you deflect it with your elbow, then the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know about the back of your hand, but certainly with your elbow. Yeah, I don't know if the kalacha yad applies to mukta. Gufo is what we use when it comes to mukta, like different part of your body. Let's not use the hands. So if you would push it away with your elbow, then the Mishnah Berurah would permit moving any mukta with your elbow. Chazanish doesn't, but the Mishnah Berurah does. What do you think about Sekhanas Nefashos? What do you think we would do for Sekhanas Nefashos?
The animal, if it's a little bird and it flies out, he won't have anything to eat.
Oh, you don't mean Sekhanas Nefashos to a human. I'm sorry. So what you're saying...
For a human, it would apply. But does it apply for a bird? Or does
yes.
That
so let me rephrase. Let me rephrase what you're saying. What you're asking is, what about Tsar Bali Chayim? What happens, and this is a concern, if your bird flies away... It's a trained bird that's normally kept in a cage and fed three times a day. It might even be fed better than the father of the house in some instances. Right, Natanael? The question is, what about Tzar Bali Chayim? So Tzar Bali Chayim, I wasn't going to do this, but actually, when it comes to Tzar Bali Chayim, there might be a heter. Because Tzar Bali Chayim is an issa d'oraisa, meaning to cause Tzar Bali Chayim. The concern for Tzar Bali Chayim is a concern mid'oraisa. It's a Torah concern.
But this is maybe different because these birds were originally wild. We made them into domestic birds. Why would letting it free become Tzar Bali Chayim? It becomes like any other animal.
Because if an animal grows up for a year and a half in a cage with a family who takes care of it, and then you leave it out in the wild, it doesn't have the tools or the knowledge or the training to know how to fend for itself. And chances are it's going to starve because he doesn't know how to eat worms. He doesn't know how to catch, I don't know, rodents. He doesn't know. He wasn't trained. He just got, fed on a silver platter. So here, if you look back at the Ran that I skipped, I'll answer your question, Yanki, because it's a little more involved. There's another line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to contradict itself. After the first half of the Mishnah said that chicks are muktzah, The next line of the Mishnah says, but if you have a chicken that ran away, you're allowed to push it and you're allowed to waddle an egel, medadin agolan esiachan, young calves, you're allowed to waddle them, sort of waddle them feet, you know, leg one leg at a time. So the Ran wonders, why are you allowed to move them at all if they're muktza? Didn't the first half of the Mishnah say animals are muktza? The second half of the Mishnah says you're allowed to waddle a calf. The Ran says, miyukashali, hech medadin, why are you permitted to waddle a behema chayva of? Even if you do it in a chatzar, there's no carrying issue, there's no hutzah issue. Hakol midi d'lo chazal l'tiltol. Just like you're not allowed, when something is muktza, just like you're not allowed to move part of it, you're not allowed to move the whole animal, you're not allowed to move part of the animal. Why are you allowed to waddle this sheep or this calf part by part? That should still be usr, just like you can't lift up the entire sheep or the entire calf. So we're not going to get into the sugya of moving part of an animal or part of a body. The point of the Ran is, why are you letting him move this waddle, this sheep? And the Ran answers with the answer to Yanki's question. The heter is, it must be talking about a sheep or a calf who is, let's say, far away from the food. Or it has to, or it's in the heat and it wants to go to the shade, but it doesn't know how to walk yet. So then you are permitted, you the farmer, the dairy farmer, or not the dairy farmer, the beef farmer, whatever farmer you are, you're allowed to waddle the animal. Why? For tzar bali chayim. In other words, if it's for tzar bali chayim, then we suspend the halacha of muktza. And that, Yanki, will answer your question. If we're worried that the animal, if I don't grab it with my hands, will fly away into the wild outdoors where it might not be able to eat food and it might starve to death, maybe that could be considered tzar bal chayim, in which case it would be mutter, the halachas of muktzah would be suspended, and maybe we would be able to catch the bird with our hands to prevent it from suffering tzar bal chayim. And Yanki, that answers your question, right? Okay. So now, again, if it's not a case of tzar bal chayim, that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day. You have an animal, so if you have to take it outside to the bathroom, and it can't make, and you're, for whatever reason, the only place it makes is by its favorite tree, and it's in terrible pain that it's not going to its favorite tree, then maybe you'd be able to lift it up and carry it to outside to its favorite tree. Maybe.
On a leash.
Yeah, on a leash, of course, but that's a whole different story. Leashes mutter, we're not going to talk about leashes. Maybe next week we'll talk about a leash, but yeah. Leashes are mutter, but you're not handling the animal, you're not lifting up the animal itself. On a leash is fine.
Do you have a chaynosi, a small animal?
When it comes to hotza'ah, that's another sugya. They say that the leash, the animal could lead you.
Well, picking up the dog and bringing it outside.
Do you say chayin by an animal or only by a human?
Yes.
I don't remember. It's a good question. Is it hotza dorais if you carry an animal that could walk on his own or her own?
And if it's only dorban, maybe we could suspend that for sarbon chayin as well.
Okay, that's already, that's possible. Let's leave that out for now. So we're still going to focus on, we're in a regular case, not a case of tzar bali chayim, not a case of going to the bathroom, not a case, just could I hold an animal, could I move the animal? So we saw a Mishnah that said we can't. The Shulchan Aruch says we can't. But let's get a little bit deeper. Look at this Maharshal. The Maharshal in Siman Yud, Shas Chuvas Maharshal, asks a question about, can you catch the chickens that escaped? So the Maharshal says, it should be problematic because of the, it's an issue of catching them, of tzeda. Okay. And then, he quotes the Hagos Maimoni. In the second paragraph of the Shut Maharshal, the second paragraph on page 2, after the three dots, Achein b'maimoni b'hagah, the Hagos Maimoni, kosav leheter, that you can catch these runaway chickens. Okay. Comes the Taz, let's go straight to the Taz. The Taz says, I don't understand, in the first paragraph of the Taz, he quotes this Maharshal, who says, that you're allowed to catch the chickens. I don't understand. Forget the fact that you're catching them or not catching them. It should be usur to just handle them in the first place. They should be muktza. So he says maybe it's going to be also for the heter tzar balei chayim, but we're not going to go into that. Let's jump, if you don't mind, to the next important source, which is going to be a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Memhei. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Memhei is not really the important thing, but it's going to be the stepping stone for us to get to Tosos, and Tosos is going to be the most famous Tosos that we're going to do tonight. The most famous line that we're going to do tonight is this Tosos. The Gemara, before we get to Tosos, talks about, are you allowed to carry a chicken coop? Kina shel tarnegoles ma'al tiltuli b'Shabbos. A nest or a coop of a tarnegoles, a chicken, are you allowed to handle it? So the Gemara says, well, it should be no different than a chicken itself. Says the Gemara, no, there's an efrach mace. Says Rashi, the question is all because there's an efrach mace, the lochaz lemechal, who's not, you're not allowed to eat it, it's not kosher. And even the animals won't want to eat it, so therefore it's muktzah. So can you handle this chicken coop that has, is it considered a basis for a chicken that's muktzah, a dead chicken that's muktzah? Put time out. If the Gemara is talking about a chicken that's muktzah and only mentions a dead chicken, isn't that mashma that a live chicken is mutter? I'll say that again. The Gemara's question says, I have a chicken coop or chicken nest, and I want to know if it's a basis, if it had a dead chicken in it. It sounds like it's only a basis potentially because it has a dead chicken in it, but if it would have a live chicken in it, then it would certainly be okay. It sounds like a live animal would be permitted to move.
No, why don't you say that it's a basis because that's what's still in the chicken coop? Usually you're not moving it with the chicken in it. They come out. So it's not a basis for the live animals, they're not in it.
That's what Tosos will say in a few lines, but we'll get there soon. Before Dr. Pinter's comment, which I'm going to ignore right now, Rabbeinu Yosef says, why is it talking about a dead chicken to say that it's muktzah? It must be because a live chicken would be mutter. Why would a live chicken be mutter? Didn't we learn that all animals are muktzah? Look at this most important line of tonight's shir. Says Tosus and Shabbos, Perish Harav Rabbi Yosef, Delo Naketef Rachai. The reason why the Gemara, when it was talking about a muktzah chicken, didn't talk about a live chicken. Aren't live chickens also muktzah? Why do you have to talk about a dead chicken? Mishum dechai chazi l'shasek botinok kisha bocha. If you have a crying child and you want them to stop, hand them a chick and they'll stop crying. In other words, you could use a chicken as a toy, what we use dogs for, as a pet. And therefore, since it could be used as a pet, normally chickens are used either to lay eggs, muktzah, to shecht, muktzah. But since a live chicken could potentially be used in some unusual circumstances like a pet to quiet the kids as a pet, that makes it not muktzah.
Didn't we learn by Hilchos Shabbos that you about the question about cutting off the head of the chicken because they used to use it to play?
Yeah, that's true. But even if you wouldn't cut off the head, even if you left the head intact, the kid could also play with it. You can't play catch maybe, but you could play with it and cuddle with it and stop the kid from crying. So you see that if it's a toy or a pet, it's not muktzah. If we stopped right here, you have a Mefurshe Tosos who says, let me rephrase it, you have a Mefurshe Rabbeinu Yosef in Tosos who says that pets are not muktzah.
You need to have a child?
No, it says for kids, it's not muktzah.
Since it could be given to a kid, since a chicken could be given to a kid to quiet him down, meaning to be used as a pet, therefore it would not be muktzah. Only if it would be dead when it can't be given to a kid to play with and to use as a pet because it's dead, then it would be muktzah. But if it would be a live chick, then it would be a pet, and it could be a pet, and therefore it wouldn't be muktzah. So it sounds from Tosas that pets are not muktzah.
Is that a riot only for children or for adults as well?
If you have an adult who is like a child and plays with animals, meaning typically adults were busy for all of history. Adults were busy. They didn't have like this luxury time of just cuddling up with a cat and it was typically not done. Nowadays, if you have an adult who would who would want to cuddle with a cat or a dog, presumably it should be the same thing. It's a pet. And Rabbeinu Yosef says, you see from this Gemara, that only a dead chick is muktzah. It must be that a live chick is mutter. Why? Because it could be a pet. Tosus holds, Rabbeinu Yosef and Tosus holds that pets are not muktzah.
What do you do with the Mishnah in the first Maravakam?
Yes. You know who asks that question? The very next line of Tosus. Because what I just read, the Rabbeinu Yosef and Tosus, is going to be rejected by Tosos and by almost all the other poskim. But it's important to know there is one opinion of Rabbeinu Yosef and the Rishonim who says that pets are not muktzah. Comes to us and says, wait a second, asks Avi Yubin's question, but didn't the first source that we had tonight, the Torah story of the chicks turning the sal, the basket upside down as a stepping tool to help the chickens climb up and climb down, didn't we say there that chickens are muktzah? Yeah, we did. Elavadai, skip to the last line of Tosos. Elavadai bali chayim muktzim heim, kegrogros v'tzimukin. It must be, Tosos says, I don't buy this that pets are mutter. All animals, even pets, are muktzah, like the highest level of muktzah. You know what grogros v'tzimukin are? Grogros v'tzimukin are so chamra, are so muktzah. You know why they're so muktzah? Yeah, because you intentionally, what do you take? You take some grapes, you want them to dry. So you purposely put them out of your purview. You leave them up on the roof so they could dry in the sun for a week or two, and you're purposely putting them away from your ability to use them. You're being maksa them idas. So to animals. Animals, you are going to use them, I don't know, for shechting them, I don't know, to pull your sled if you live in Alaska. You definitely, animals are totally muksa, super muksa. So what we have here is Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Yosef that pets are permitted, and Tosos rejects that Rabbeinu Yosef and says pets are muktzah. It happens to be that this Rabbeinu Yosef, who's lenient and says that pets are permitted, or not muktzah, is also a Rashi. The problem is, it's a Rashi that we don't know where it is. We don't have any record of its existence, and therefore it's probably not a Rashi. But the Ritva, on that same daf, Memhem and Beis, says, quotes Rashi, Perish Rashi, I wrote in my little words, we don't have any such Rashi, Defra Chai, if it's a live chick, it's allowed to be handled because a child could play with it. But the Ritva asks the same exact question that Tosus did to reject this opinion. What do you mean? Then how come we said the whole issue about flipping over a basket to let it hop on top of it sounds like like a chick is muktzah? So therefore, the Ritva also assumes that animals would be muktzah. So we have this Rabbeinu Yosef, we have a phantom Rashi, which may or may not exist, but it's rejected by Tosus, it's rejected by the Ritva. Comes the Hagos HaShri with a fabulous Svara. Let's think for a second about this same Rabbeinu Yosef, the same Svara that since a kid could play with it, that gives it a use. That gives, right? The whole point is why something is muktzah. Why is a stick or a stone muktzah? Because it's purposeless. It's useless. But if you could use it as a toy, that will make it useful.
You can prepare an Arab Shabbos for...
We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to hold that in a minute. We're going to get there. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Why isn't every stone muktzah to touch because it could
play... Baruch Shekivanta to the next line. That's the Hagos HaShri. You're on fire, Avi. You're on fire. The Hagos HaShri asks exactly this question. Look at the end of the first line. I don't understand. How could this Svara say that, since you could give it to a baby, it'll quiet them down? Well, what happens if you have a baby and he's crying? What should you give him? A stick, a stone, a bottle of glue, a pen. I don't know what. Give him anything that will quiet him down. All these things that are theoretically muktzah, you could give it to a baby and quiet him down. Why are they all muktzah? DMK, kol avonim ve'etzim yafim yemutar l'taltel. According to this svara that you could give a muktzah item to a baby and it will quiet him down. What is he asking? You know what he's really asking? He's saying more than that. He's saying that what kind of hishtamshus is the kind of hishtamshus that renders something a usable kli? A real use. If you have a baby who's crying and you want to just make him not cry, so you give him something to play with his hands, that's not called a hishtamshus. That's not called a use. That's not called a use.
We don't let you use a cinder block as a doorstop, even though that's a use.
Exactly. Why?
Because
Because it's not a use, maybe.
Unless it's designated.
We'll talk about designation in a minute, in a few minutes. But what I think he's saying in the same way, Eitz and Vavanim, we don't say, oh, you could use it for this or for that. No, we call it useless. So too a pet, even though you could say that this animal is giving emotional satisfaction to the children or the adults, that's called a use. That's not called a use. Why is that a sufficient use to make it into something that would be mutter to handle on Shabbos? That's the rejection, the lamdus of this Hagos Ashri. Now, there's a Talmud of the Rush, who was a big Talmud Chacham. He was the Marach or Zerua. And he asked the Rush a question, and in his question, he takes a very strong position. And this Marach or Zerua is besides the line of Tosus who says that you're allowed to handle pets, this is the other main opinion who seems to permit handling pets. That's the Marach or Zerua. And in his Shas HaTshuvas, in Simon Pei Aleph, Pei Beis will be the Rush's response, his Rebbe's response to him. But he says, please tell me, Od Hodieni, please inform me, my dear Rebbe the Rush. It seems to me, Kinir Ali, even though I realize that Bali Chaim are Mukta, but you know what? Maybe that's animals in general. But if you have a cute little birdie who sings, now he's focusing on the singing, you'll see why. If they sit in their cage and they sing pretty songs, maybe the fact that they sing pretty songs should be a hishtamshus. Where do we see that? I'll show you where we see that. He says, skip the line, midi dahava aslikusta shehilamara. Slikusta, which is totally not usable, but you look at it and it looks nice or it smells nice. That makes it not muktzah. You don't have a tachlis for it. It feels good in your... You'll see it. Let me give you an example. Are cloves... You want to smell cloves on Shabbos. Are you allowed to smell cloves? Smell besamim? Not edible besamim. Are you allowed to smell besamim on Shabbos?
Do it on Yom Kippur.
100% you can. You can do it Shabbos, Yom Kippur, sure. What use do they have? You enjoy smelling it. Your senses are delighted from it. So why is that any different, he asks, than instead of my olfactory, my smelling sense delights in it, why can't my audio senses delight in it? I could listen to my bird sing, chirp beautiful songs. And that should make it muktzah. That should make it not muktzah. That's what the Marach or Zerua says. The slikusta that he's trying to talk about is...
You don't have an African gray parrot, right?
I have a cockatiel.
Yeah, well, African grays are much louder.
Okay. They're also much more expensive. the African... Those parrots that you're talking about are $700 a piece. Easy. Or more, yes. We have a cockatiel. We bought it for about, I think, $150, $200. And we found out somebody was giving away cockatiels. So we said, okay, we'll take another one. So we took another one. And apparently, because of COVID, I'm not sure what COVID has to do with this, but because of COVID, the price of cockatiels went up to $300. So when we heard somebody was giving away, we took it theirs and we tried to, you know, try to add the second one to our family with one of them. So unfortunately, our two cockatiels didn't get along. So what did we say? We'll sell it. So my wife posted online that we're selling a cockatiel for, I think, $200 or $250. And in minutes, she got four requests to buy it. And we sold the one that was given to us for free. Sold it like nothing. A guy drove in from New Jersey, bought it for $200 or $250. And they're a lot of money. And these are the cockatiels are the cheap ones. The parrots are much more expensive. But the Marach or Zerua is saying a fabulous svar. He's saying that I think the fact that something, this slikusta, which is something that you smell nice, it smells nice, or something that looks nice, the fact that it looks nice should make it namokza. The fact that it smells nice makes it namokza. So too, the fact that it sounds nice, exactly, that's the Marach or Zerua. Since you're delighting in the sound that it provides, that is a use, and that's what he suggests should maybe mutter. That's the suggestion of the Machor Zeruah. It's a new svara. Yeah?
Why should I get a benefit? It sounds like you get the good feeling when you play with it. But why shouldn't that be our use?
Yeah, I guess that was less... Yeah, that's probably what he means in a different way. Like, I think the concept of feeling something and enjoying the feeling was something that he couldn't, you know, the Rishonim didn't know how to say. It's a very modern concept of sensory, you know, the whole concept of, you know, kids with sensory issues and sensory integration. That's a more of a modern thing. The fact that I like feeling soft, cuddly animals, maybe that's what Rabbeinu Yosef meant in Tosis. But at least the Maracher Zohar is trying to say something even better. It sings. It gives music. And it's not a cliché, so it shouldn't have the problems of cliché, right? And he proves it to you. Look at the bottom line of the Maracher Zohar. He says that something looks pretty, that makes a mutter. Kol and Mara are equivalent when it comes to Hilchos Me'ila. And he says, let's talk about a guitar. Why is a guitar muktzah? Only for one reason. You might come to fix it, Shem Yitak and Kleshir. If not for that, then it would be mutter. Mutter to play music and mutter to mutter to play mutter. It would be klishon al heter. So therefore, why should my parrot be any less than a guitar that doesn't have a problem of Shem Yitak and Kleshir? My parrot is a stringless guitar. It's a klishir without the problem of Shem Yitak and Kleshir. Fascinating svarah of the Or HaZeruah, no? Fabulous, Soros.
It's more like a radio.
Okay, radio, but don't keep out the electricity aspect because that complicates things.
Wind chime.
Well, again, a wind chime is a musical instrument that has the psul of Shem Yitak and Kleshir, has the iser of instruments, right? If the string disattaches, you're going to reattach it to make the wind
chime.
It's usable. You're asking what makes it into a kli? The fact that it's usable.
The fact that it makes the sound. So therefore, why is the bird not a kli? That's really the svara.
Oh, so what Eli wants to say, Eli likes this Maracher Zohar, and he's taking the Maracher Zohar to the next step. The Maracher Zohar says, it's usable. Eli's saying, and the fact that it's usable to produce beautiful music should give it a din kli.
Yep.
And that's what Eli Bloom is suggesting is the lumdus of this Maracher Zohar.
Is there any other kli that's a living thing?
1 second.
Some other heter, like a dog. A dog doesn't make music.
Make music. So you're going to have to say that cuddling with it somehow is a meaningful, sensation that somehow deserves to make it mutter for that reason.
If I have a big fluffy cotton ball, that's not useful for anything, but I can hug it.
If you have a big cotton ball that you could hug and it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside, that would still probably be mukta. That's not a kli. That's not correct. That's not correct. It's not designed to be a kli. If you have a fluff of... I'll give you a great example. A pile of hay.
Right.
You have a pile of hay. We know that a pile of hay is mukta. That's clear.
But a cuddly ball was made to cuddle.
A ball, that's not a ball of cotton. I'm not talking about a cuddly ball. If you have a pillow, that's fine, because it was given the tzura. If you just have a pile of cotton or a pile of hay, that's muktza. Once it's designated and formed, oh, then it's a kli.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between a ball of cotton.
I thought that's what it
No, a ball of cotton, he means just a clump of cotton. That's muktza.
Sorry, that's something
they say. A clump of hay that's nice and soft and you could jump in and use it as a mattress if you don't have a mattress. But until you make it into a mattress, it's muktzah. Pile of hay is muktzah. Okay. So we have some fabulous svaras here. This Maracher Zohar is saying the fact that it makes music, he's not talking about the pet shabo. Tosfos mentioned the pet concept. He's talking about birds that make noise, and noise is a hana, just like mara is a hana, so to smell is a hana, so to noise. Singing should be a hana, since it's a hana, it's useful. You want to say that it makes like a kli. It's just like a guitar without the psul of wild svaras of the Maracher Zohar. Comes the next tshuva in the Maracher Zohar, which is the Rush's response to his student's very creative question. And the Rush says, nice try, close, but no cigar. Look at the bottom of page 3. Va'al ha'ofos, regarding these birds that you're asking me, again, this is the Shailas Uchuas Marach Razorua Simon Pei Beis, which is the Rush's response to Shailas Uchuas Pei Aleph, which was the question. Says the Rush, and the Rush, of course, is a giant step higher than the Marach Razorua, his student, Lo mala ani libi lahatir. I can't even imagine being matir, because you can't learn, the next five words are very important. De ein lilmod heter shimush balichayim, meheter kelim. Just because you could be matir kli, that doesn't give you permission to be matir balchay. Why? I'll give you an example. Because if you have a kli, that's a kli shemlachta l'isser, a pen, a hammer, you can move a litzarach gufa makamo. But something that's like a stick or a stone is also even litzarach gufa makamo. Why? Because it doesn't have a Torah's kli on it. Meaning, if something has a Torah's kli, then you could find a heter for it. But if something doesn't even have a Torah's kli in the first place, it's like a stick on the stone, it doesn't have a Torah's kli, then you can't find any heter for it. Guess what? A Baal Chai doesn't have a Torah's kli.
Well, neither does a cloak. That's an animal.
Leave that aside. Not only that. So number one, an animal is not a Torah's kli. Number two, says the Rush, this should be even worse than something that doesn't have a kli. Look why. Because, and this is a very complicated svara, we're going to see this articulated even more clearly elsewhere. Let's see if we could find it in his words. V'yesh le'aser yoser b'ba'ali chayim. Ba'ali chayim are worse than sticks and stones. They're worse than saying it's not a kli. They're at least not a kli, and they're even worse. Why? De'ein mishtamshim b'ba'ali chayim. Stop. What do those words mean? Ein mishtamshim b'ba'ali chayim. Does anyone know what those words mean? Say that? So what does it mean? Ein mishtamshim b'ba'ali chayim? It's aser to be mishtamesh in a ba'al chai. Could you give me any examples of that? Isur to be mishtamesh in a ba'al chai?
Is that what we're talking about?
No, that's just working. You're not allowed to ride on an animal. Not only, Rabosa, you're not allowed to ride on an animal. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, I don't remember where, that the Rush doesn't specify, but I saw other posts can quote, which is probably what the Rush is referring to. There's a story about one of the Amoraim is leaning against an animal, and another Amora says, you're not allowed to be mishtamesh b'baal chai. You shouldn't be leaning on that animal. It's not just in roch ben al gabe behema, because maybe you'll come to be, you know, rip off a branch and hit it. You're not even allowed to be mishtamesh b'baal chai. Meaning there's an isser. The isser of ein roch ben al gabe behema is not just rechiva alein. It's not merely riding. It's any use of an animal.
That is the same conservative.
The reason for that is...
Shvisas behema and hishtamshus behema is a little bit different. Shvisas behema is if he does malacha for you, if he works for you. Wait, I'm talking about, could I lean against him?
He's doing malacha for you. He's supporting you.
Supporting you and you're leaning on him. That's called a violation of shvisas behema. I think it's an extension of the Isur D'Rabbanan of Ein Roch Ben Al Gabe Behema, which Chazal really mean you can't get any Hishtamshus from a Behema. I think there might be a difference between Malacha and Hishtamshus.
Are we conflating?
And you can't do Smicha on an animal, not because you're riding it, but because you're doing Malacha with the animal.
I don't remember. Is that so?
I'm thinking.
You're not allowed to do Smicha on an animal on Shabbos.
Because in order to do Smicha on an animal, you have to put your full weight on the animal.
And that's a problem with Shvisas Behemta?
I believe so.
I don't know. Could be. I haven't learned Kachem. I don't know. What are you saying, Avi?
We seem to be conflating Muktzah with the issue of Tlisha taking off a branch.
What he's saying now, this is the Chiddush of the Marach Razorua. Not only is it Muktzah, that's not a Kli. Do you need, David? How many do you need?
Three.
Okay, we'll be finished in a few minutes. Not only is it muktzah that it's not even a kli, but worse than that, worse than not being a kli, it also has an iser hishtamshus. Meaning there's two dimensions. One dimension is that it's muktzah, it's like not even a kli, it's like a stick on a stone. And now the Rush says it's even worse than that. It's worse than a stick and a stone. A stick and a stone is just mukta because it's useless. And now this is worse. You know why it's worse? Because it carries within an iser hishtamshus. What? A stone doesn't have an iser hishtamshus. It has no hishtamshus.
You can sit on a stone?
Yes, you can sit on a stone if you don't move it. Correct. If you don't wiggle it around, you can move it. You could sit on a stone. You're going on a hike. There's a big rock there. You could sit on a rock. You could sit on a car if you won't. If you're not 300 pounds, you could sit on a car. Like an animal, you can't. It talks about that, and I think there's something about you're going to be moving it. It talks about sitting on. So let's leave that nakuda. So what the Rush is saying a double pronged rejection of the Marach HaRezerua. You Marach HaRezerua want to call it that the music is mutter, or maybe even makes it a kli. Not only is it not a kli, it's less than a kli, because it's an animal, not a kli, but it's even usher to use. There's an isur shtamshus, and therefore, sorry, my dear friend Marach HaRezerua, the answer is no, and that the Rush is with these words rejects the possibility of using an animal even when it was tried to be designated as a musical something or other.
Even if it's a kli, even if you were matzeh specifically on Shabbos to use it for whatever, who cares? There's still zero.
That's correct. What you just said, you took a little bit of my fire away from my next question, which was going to be the next question about what about. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. So the next question, which, by the way, look, we didn't do the last four words of the Rush. The last four words are v'lo plug rabbanim b'bali chayim. When they said you can't use any hishtamishus, I mean, what I think he means lo plug rabbanim means when they said that there's an issur to be rochev on a behema, they meant there's an issur to be mishtamish in any which way, or he means. When they said that there is a mukta on a behema, it's mukta in all circumstances, even if you happen to have a singing one. So this low plug is going to be very hard to argue on. I'll say, oh, but he's a pet. He's a part of the family. He's a part of the family. He's not a pet. He's not an animal. He's the child that I could afford. He's not an animal. Right. My tuitionless baby. So the Rush will say, low plug. You can't really argue on a low plug. There's no room to argue on a low plug, because any exception you could find, that's what low plug isn't coming to exclude. Sorry.
Seeing eye dog as well?
Seeing eye dog, I don't want to get into. I did see a heter for seeing eye dog, which is very difficult to understand, because it's against this low plug. You have to say mamish, it has a mamish different geder, it's a din kli, it's a hard. And obviously, you're going to look for kulas for seeing eye dog.
Crutches.
What?
Crutches.
That's already a mishnah. That's a crutch. It's already considered your foot. Right. So that you have to, for seeing eye dog, we're going to look for kulas. Remember, there was this one or two Rishonim who were Mekel, right? That Rabbeinu Yosef that Tosis rejected was Mekel. Marach HaRezerua who the Rush rejected was Mekel. So are there Rishonim who permit in these cases? An animal that you could play with, or an animal that's a pet, an animal that sings. There were one or two Rishonim who permitted it. It happens to be we reject them.
Yeah.
But maybe in a case for like a blind person, we're going to rely on a Das Yachid, on a Shas Hadchak kind of situation. Maybe we'll rely on such Rishonim. Okay. Now, I want to get to the point that Eli Blum raised. And this is the second to last point, my English writing on the bottom of page 4. And that is, you're telling me that an animal is purposeless. It's not a kli. It's like eitzim vavanim. But we know, that's going to be the answer. But we know that eitzim vavanim, what happens if you have eitzim vavanim? You could have a rock before Shabbos, and you could give him a name. This rock's name is now Fred. Peter. You could draw a smiley on this rock with two eyes and a big red smiley, yellow ears, and call him Peter. And you could put him on your desk to hold down all your papers as a paperweight. And if that's the case, you were miyached this rock to be a paperweight. So it was not a kli yesterday, it was not any kli at all. It was a stick and a stone. And you were miyachidit to turn into a, whatever the gedder of miyachid, it has to be before Shabbos, and it has to be forever, whatever the parameters of yichud are.
You had that by keeping the door open.
Yeah, yeah,
you
we talked. Yeah, yeah, you do it regularly, but that works. Could I say that this pet is going to be, this animal is not an animal, he's a pet, and I'm going to be miyachid him to be my pet? Why not? Isn't that a good story? If I could do that to a stick or a stone, why can't I do it to an animal? Just like an animal is ein lo hishtamshus, he's not a kli. A stick or a stone is not a kli either.
He said it's worse than that. He said it's like pits and stems.
It's like not a kli, but you know what? You could take something that's not a kli and make it into a kli.
You
could take a pit and make a pit into a game of kugelach. Yes, you could make a game if you take a bunch of pits and I don't know, color them or dye or paint them. You could make them into kugelach. But you could be, if you're miyache those, it might be okay. Good question. Good question. He just means super muktzah. Super muktzah. So this is my question that I want to finish with. My question is, if a stick and a stone, which is not a kli at all, but yet yichud would work to be miyachadit to become a kli, why can't you do the same exact thing with an animal? Animals are animals, they're useless. And I'm going to take it and designate it as my plaything, as my toy. What's the difference between a teddy bear and a live teddy bear? Right? Why should teddy bear be muktzah, but because it's alive that should be worse? Live teddy bears, otherwise known as poodles, are much more cuddly than dead teddy bears. I'll be miyachid before Shabbos. This is my, you know, my therapy toy. My animal. My pet. It's not an animal, it's a pet. So we'll see two mahachim with which we'll finish these two, with two svaras. Number one, Rav Nissen Karelitz says something that's very interesting. Look at the last three words of the first paragraph. I can't highlight these three words. The last three words: "D'dover chai hu cheftza bifnei atzmo, klape shlimushim achem." D'dover chai hu cheftza bifnei atzmo. I don't know what exactly he means, but I think what he's saying is that if you have a stick or a stone, you know what you could do? A stick or a stone doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have a life. Like, go get a life. Sticks and stones don't have a life. You want to give it a life? You can give it a life. You could designate it to be a pet stone, to be a paperweight, to be a doorstopper, and you gave it an identity. But animals have their own identity. Animals have personalities. Animals have feelings. Animals have emotions. Do they? Don't they? I don't know. I'm not a zoological neurologist. But animals have a life. So just because you decided you want to use him as a pet, As a living teddy bear, that means that he's now been dedicated to be a living teddy bear? No, he's him. He was him, and he was alive, and he did his thing. And he has other dogs that he loves or doesn't love, and turf that he protects. Unrelated to the fact that you want him as a dog for your 4-year-old son who needs some emotional chizuk. Right. To him, being your pet is a side job. He has a wife and a kid and he'll father 15 little doggies, and that's not part. But in your mind, oh, I'm miyachid him to be a dog. Who are you? I mean, when it comes to a rock, you could be miyachid your rock to do whatever you want your rock to be. But animals are more complex. They're more multidimensional than just a stone. Therefore, maybe you can't be miyachid it. That's one svara. Fascinating svara. And let's finish the shiur with another svara. The other svara is something that we sort of saw before, but the Betzel Chachma suggests the following. You remember we saw before that when Chazal made their iser of rochev al gabei behema, they also say you can't be mishtamesh in a behema? Says the Betzel Chachma, you're calling this dog a pet and you're going to play with it? Maybe that's the hishtamshus. In the same way, Chachamim asked you to be mishtamesh by riding on it, and asked the mishtamesh by leaning against it, leaning on it. Maybe equally, you can't play with it and throw it up in the air as a play toy and do whatever else you want to do with the animal because it's a hishtamshes, and lo polig rabbanon. When they asked the hishtamshes of animals, they asked across the board, every hishtamshes, including the hishtamshes of playing with it. And therefore, you want to take off the isur muktzah by being miyachidit for as a pet, as a plaything. Guess what? That's only a heter in hilchas muktzah. But the isur hishtamshes has nothing to do with muktzah. This is Tamshus, Ein Rochel Al Gabi Behema, is a Gzeira Drabbanon, not the Gzeira of Mukta, it's a different Gzeira Drabbanon. There's an Isra Mukta, which is tiltal, moving something. And then separate and apart from there, there's an Isra to use, to ride on, to lean on, to be Mishtamish in animals. That's nothing to do with Hilchus Mukta, it's a separate Isra Drabbanon. So yes, your Yichud HaBehema could solve the Milksa problem, but there will still remain the other problem that's nothing to do with Milksa, the problem of Hishtamshus. And therefore, Yichud will not work, because Yichud will only help you for the Milksa component. You're still left with the Isur Hishtamshus component of your playing. What you call playing, I call that a violation of an Isur Hishtamshus of Behema. And therefore, Kimat, all the poskim, let me rephrase that, all the poskim, do come out, just about 99% of the puzzle do come out that carrying an animal, even if you designate it as a pet, is not going to be mutter. I have to tell you that if you open up the Igros Moshe Chelek Hei Simchat Beis, there are small italic letters. Let me explain what those small italic letters are. The Shilas that Rav Simcha, I think Rabbi Bodner, the one who wrote the Muktzah book, wrote many shilas to Ramosha and recorded the answers. And Ramosha recorded the answers to him. They took those questions of Rabbi Bodner and the answers that Ramosha wrote to him, and they put it into Chelek Hei of Igros Moshe. A relative of Ramosha Feinstein, and now in this tshuva, Ramosha says, pets, basically, you can have the words, you see it's on the bottom of page 5. Little birds that chirp, he's asking the shaila of the Marach Rezra. Little birds that chirp and children could play with them, are they muktza or not? And Ramosha says, kol bali chayim hevelahu muktza, all animals are muktza, even the ones that you play with. Now, if you look at the small letters that a relative of Ramosha Feinstein said, I remember hearing from Ramosha, unless they're pets. That if they're pets, they're mutter. You know what that means? It means Ramosha wrote that it's mukta. I think he said, even the ones that children play with. And this relative of Ramosha finds and says, unless they were designated to be pets. I mean, isn't that what Ramosha was talking about? Also, Ramosha says, even the ones that the children play with. I mean, that means they're a pet. So it could be that the relative of Ramosha heard this line from Ramosha. Maybe Ramosha knew, or maybe it was a kid who asked him, and Ramosha didn't want to be machmir. And Ramosha knew there is this one shita that we don't really paskin like, but for a kid, so maybe he told his, I don't know, his a grandchild or something. You know, if it's your pet, you could do it. Maybe whatever the circumstances were, I don't know. But it's clearly from what Ramosha did write in his own lifetime that he said that it was problematic.
I think that original thing may have had to do with, there was a fellow who had his own petting zoo on how he should handle his animals on Shabbos. And then he would have to be a separate thing. Those are not pets. Those are his panasa.
That's even worse.
Right. So maybe that's where that he they were mixing. He couldn't handle them.
No, because Ramosha has another tshuva about fish and carrying an aquarium. And he's assuming that fish are all muktzah because it's an animal, so it's muktzah. And here, even in this tshuva that I have highlighted on the screen for you, he's not talking about a petting zoo. He's talking about birds that little children play with.
The parrot Rebbe, he has he has hundreds of birds.
Right. I don't think it didn't sound like that's what he's talking about.
My father made me go to the Debrecen Rebbe about having a fish tank.
About having it or about carrying it on Shabbos?
About feeding it.
Feeding it? Them. That's mutter.
It took him a day or two till he called back to say that we were allowed to feed it on Shabbos.
Yes, you're allowed to feed animals, even on Shabbos.
But Dugama, we're not young.